You are listening to the Massive Report podcast.
Saturday was Earth Day, and your Columbus crew fertilized the artificial surface down at Charlotte with something. Something. You know, this time of year, we're putting in the garden in the backyard. Some of that stuff can make the veggies and the fruits and the flowers grow. But ain't nothing growing on that turf except a disappointing performance by your Columbus crew. Welcome to the Massport Podcast. We're at Saucy Brew Works, where we try to be every week. The beer, the coffee, the food. It's all wonderful here at Harrison West at 3rd and Michigan. Like and subscribe, please. Sam is behind the controls. Murph is here. Brett is here. My name is Brian. Charlotte 1, your Columbus crew new. Let's start by stoking the furnace of controversy. Darlington Nagby, I'm scrambling on Twitter. He's injured. Clearly he's injured. Why isn't he out there? But that wasn't the case at all, unless his ego was injured. What's going on in the room with your Columbus crew, Murph?
Yeah, it's an interesting, sort of interesting, because Wilf and Nancy was asked after the game, and basically his response was, Darlington knows why he didn't start the game.
See, that's just like my spidey sense.
Exactly. And look, you can read into that a number of different ways, right? But he did play, so like it wasn't, I can't imagine we're talking about anything serious here. What I imagine, and look, I haven't heard anything concrete, but it seems to me that it's most likely Darlington was late to a meeting, late to training, late to, you know, whatever the case may be. Wilfred Nancy wants to make sure that, you know, this is your captain, right? The guy that you appointed captain. And you want to make sure that the rules are in place. I don't think this is an uncommon thing. You see it in sports all the time. Guys don't start games. You know, guys miss a series in football. It happened earlier this season with Manchester United and Marcus Rashford, who's one of the most professional guys in the sport, because he overslept. And so I wouldn't be overly concerned. I do have some thoughts that I'm going to put in What We Learned, which will be out on Tuesday, and I'll expand on that there. But look, I don't think you have to be worried that this is going to be an ongoing thing. I think if it were a bigger deal, you know, Darlington doesn't travel, or Darlington's there but doesn't play, or, you know, something like that. So weird to see that happen with a captain. But, you know, again, and I'm just speculating here. I don't want to make it sound like I'm reporting anything. But, you know, it's, if you're a new head coach, you want to make sure that everyone in the room respects what, you know, the rules you have put in place. And if your captain of everybody did something, even if it's minor, make a statement now, nip it in the bud.
Okay. Maybe Darlington knows that he's going to have to play some at this Open Cup game, and that's why he's not starting.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, it's possible I'm reading into it the wrong way entirely, and this was just a, you know, hey, we want
Darlington knows that he has to play the Indy 11 on Wednesday? Yeah, maybe I don't think so, Sam.
Maybe he's the veteran, the one veteran guy that's going to play against, I don't know. But
well, we'll get to that, because it'll be interesting to see what 11 we put out against their 11. Brett, how did that change the midfield play, the midfield shape? Aiden Morris, anybody? What looked different to you without Nagby?
I'll get to that in a sec. I do think if it was something relatively serious, we would have, between Murph and I, we probably would have heard about it.
Okay.
It's kind of interesting in terms of the radio silence that I've gotten from asking around, that tells me it's not a relative big deal. But to also kind of echo what Pat said, I don't know what happened. I was a little surprised to not see more of a follow-up to the comment, in the post game,
it kind of hangs
press
there,
conference,
doesn't it?
Like
the cloud,
and that's just a bit of the nature of the beast in terms of being a road game and how that process in a logistical sense works. The post game press conference works. I will admit, bad move. It's a bad comment from your manager. It's a really bad comment. You can't have it. Flat out, can't have it. There are ways to dance around that.
It's easy. You go with the hockey way where they'll say...
Just say team decision.
That's
yeah.
What goes on in the room stays in the room. That's you know, Nanya, basically.
Right.
You
well, I think it was it. Clear they wanted this somewhat out there, right?
Okay.
I mean, before the game, the club reached out to say, right after the lineup came up, that this was a coach's decision. He's not hurt. So they wanted that messaging out there. And then after the game, I'm sure Wilfred Nancy expected to be asked about it, and he clearly had this ready to go.
Yeah, I think that's a mistake, flat out. I think that's a mistake. It's tough because I think the way that ended up playing out on the field was also kind of a compounded issue. With starting Sean Zawadzki and Aiden Morris in the midfield, you would have expected then it's like, okay, well, Aiden will just kind of keep playing where he's been playing all year at an absurdly high level, MVP candidate level, and then Zawadzki will just kind of slot into that holding defensive midfield role that we've seen him play with Crew 2, that we've seen him play with the first team. And what did we see? But Aiden Morris dropping back and Zawadzki kind of playing that roaming eight role and that double pivot eight role, which makes no sense to me whatsoever. So not only is it a wild decision and whatever the cause of the effect for Nagby to essentially be sat for the first half and the better part of that game, he then played two midfielders out of position, which was mind-boggling to me. And then the minute Nagby went into the game and the minute Aiden Morris started pushing further up the field, what happened? crew found their footing.
We'll parse whether that was a goal or not, but you're right. And I don't know.
It was a wild series of choices.
Was it like we're playing a struggling team on the road? Maybe if we're at home, we don't do it that way. Was it that or...
I genuinely don't know. All I know is that I was gobsmacked to see Sean Zawadzki up the field and Aiden Morris essentially slotting between two of the three center halves at times, and trying to play the one and two touch kind of Nagby retention role that we've seen him play for the better part of now four seasons. Gobsmacked by that, because that's not what Aiden Morris has done really, really well at any point in his career. But also then the evidence of what we have seen from Aiden in these eight games prior to this ninth one, which is the dude playing out of his bleeping mind, and then you're dropping him back. I don't quite understand that choice at all, and whether that was made out of necessity, maybe that was a lack of maybe seeing Zawadzki's or trusting Zawadzki in that role. I don't really know, but it didn't work. It flat out didn't work because for 61 minutes they were bad until Nagby got in the game.
Real quick, we have breaking news on the podcast.
Dun, 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 dun.
According to Tom Bogart, who as of yesterday was with MLSsoccer.com and is today now working for The Athletic, and has already broken a story about Justin Merrim getting traded, that the Crew are trading for New York City FC left back, I'm going to probably butcher this, even though I'm reading the pronunciation, Melde Amundsen. He was part of the MLS Cup team for New York City.
Was he starting?
Probably
not.
He has started. I wouldn't call him a regular starter.
How old is he?
Point. He's 25. He has started in 2022. He started 23 of 27 games, 2 assists. 2021, 14 of 32.
Okay.
A goal and 3 assists.
What are we sending their way?
That was not in the initial
game
here. I would imagine it's something along those lines. I know we're going to talk about Will Sand's injury here, but I think we can read further into the likelihood of Will Sand's being hurt long term with this move. So I just wanted to, we can continue, well, but I want to.
Okay. Well, that's good. I think we need some reinforcements.
So off the top of my head, you might remember Amundsen is Malte, M-A-L-T-E, I believe is his first name. Scandinavian. I'm not exactly sure which country, Finnish, Norwegian, Sweden, somewhere in there.
It's not on the website where he's from.
You might remember the NYCFC game, I want to say last season at lower.com field, the really early own goal that the Crew score in that game is Amundsen bombing up the left side, kind of playing in a really dynamic cross, and the ball kind of just gets like sent into the back of the Crew's net.
He's Danish.
Danish, so I was close. The way NYCFC played, they kind of those outside backs were always a little bit in rotation, and then I think they had a little bit of you know, regime change with Ronnie Dyla, and then the new coach, in terms of kind of like the system remained the same, but some guys fell out of the pecking order. It was kind of funky, but overall. A guy that I think can definitely offer minutes. I think the work rate, the engine, so to speak, that position requires in Wilfred Nancy's system, he definitely checks those two boxes. So okay. It's a good add. As far as a Crew's perspective, to fill a spot for a guy that it's a devastating injury, and I'm sure we'll find out more in the coming days as to
probably tomorrow
the details
Tuesday.
Of it. I would say that the trade news is kind of confirmation that the injury is pretty bad, and that's tough. I hate on a personal note. That's something I identify with. Where in terms of playing really, really well and things are going your way and you're cruising and you feel like you're taking another next step, and then you get on a snowboard and you go to Brandywine in Northeast Ohio and your Achilles snaps off your heel, and the next thing you know, you've never been the same.
That sounds really personal.
That happened to me, by the way.
That sounds awful.
So Will is having definitely the best season of his career. I think he had absolutely taken a step, both technically, athletically, and so for that, for him to have an injury setback is horrible and incredibly unfortunate. So you wish him the best.
It was weird. It didn't look like there was that much in it, really. I don't. We were trying to figure out if he slammed his knee into the turf or what happened.
Yeah, I think it's a bit of a turf. It's a turf step. And if anyone's ever played at speed on turf, you kind of know that little slide that you can sometimes have when the rubber pellets are more of what you step on rather than the actual kind of like synthetic turf. But what's not aided by the fact is what's his face from Charlotte smashed him in the back.
Yeah.
When he didn't need to.
Yeah.
I didn't really think much of it. The more I've watched it, the more I don't think it's a soccer play. The more I think it's kind of a guy who had been pretty pissed off at the start of that game and was kind of looking for it. You can see him he's chirping at everybody in the first like 6-7 minutes of that game. An unfortunate kind of confluence of a number of things, and Will comes out on the other side of that significantly injured, I believe.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was one of those where his foot probably gets caught a little bit, and then, you know, your knee just...
I don't understand how that could happen in a downtown soccer-specific stadium.
Yeah, right. Look, really unfortunate for Will. As Brett said, he's been playing as well as, you know, he's played in his, you know, short time with the Crew, but you know, I think he's just continued to get better, and you don't want a season to end like that. And also, I think it's interesting, and you know, you add this trade now into the mix here. Wilfred Nancy brings on Yao Yeboah, who, as we've discussed here, is a attacking right winger,
inverted winger, right.
To play on the left now over Jimmy Madranda, who was signed by this team to play the left wing back, like specifically for this formation. And Nancy was asked afterwards, and he said, you know, Yeboah gives them more in the attack, basically. He can do that, and Madranda's not able to do that right now. And that may be a fitness thing, though he did play 90 minutes or, you know, most of the game for Crew 2 weeks ago. So there just seems to be a lack of confidence in Jimmy Madranda, which I don't understand right now. We haven't seen a ton of him. And
yeah.
His MLS career's, you know, been up and down. He's had injuries and whatnot. But now you make a trade, so you're giving up allocation money after you signed a guy in the offseason. I thought Yao Yeboah offered very little.
That one play where he came out of nowhere. And
he did. I mean, he was active, but there just wasn't a ton there.
It's Yao.
And, yeah, I mean, it's the same things we've seen. There were moments I didn't like the sub. If Madranda's not fit to play the 80 minutes or whatever it is, then I guess that plays into it. But I thought it, you know. And then you bring on Madranda late for Yao Yeboah.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I'll tell you what, that goal we gave up was just, you saw it coming, didn't you? It was like, what's everybody doing? Just we sort of stopped playing for about 15 seconds, and that was enough for Swiderski to bury it. And then we had to look at his bitchy resting face. That guy, what is with that guy?
He's
like, will you calm down? It's like you've never scored before.
He it's interesting. He, you know, the list of the guys that you kind of like somewhat unconsciously, subconsciously dislike for whatever reason.
He's a punchable face.
Punchable face list. Like it's the would it be? Is it like the Mike McGee Memorial Punchable Face of Major League Soccer list? I love Mike, by the way. In terms of guys that you would love to have on your team, but when you're not on your team, you just utterly cannot stand.
Well, he did his job there.
Homeboy's really good, by the way. Yeah, Swiderski's excellent. He's playing in the right position finally, which is a bit of a withdrawn striker doing, and the goal is essentially literally the blueprint of what Christian's looking for in terms of tactical buildup, which is to use their width to their advantage, and then pull one center back with a near stick run, and then the other guy, whoever it might be, comes back kind of underneath that vacated space, and then you supply a ball to feet and you finish to the near post. It was literally textbook. They scored probably 10 goals like that last year. They were ready to play. I was impressed with a team that's been really bad, that's really struggled, that it seemed to me that whatever they had in terms of training leading up to the game, the motivation was there and then some. And then I think on top of that, I think that, you know, the Crew, they create a point blank header chance that's literally inside the 6-yard box or close to it, that Christian Ramirez needs to finish and doesn't. And then Will Sands goes out with what looked like a really bad injury. And so kind of the wind out of their sails a little bit. You know, the Yao stuff is tough because I don't know exactly what position is entirely antithetical or opposite of an inverted right winger when you're left footed, but it might be left wing back or left back.
Yes, yeah.
So you might be quite literally asking the guy to play the exact opposite position in which he was brought in to play. Mm-hmm. Now, obviously, that's a previous regime. That's a Caleb Porter signing. Not a Wilfred Nancy signing. But he probably saves a goal in the second half. And he whips a world-class ball that beats three guys behind the fence and puts it right on Christian Ramirez's dominant foot. And he punts that thing into,
That was disappointing.
Into Mecklenburg.
That was a perfect ball.
It's tough. I think the wingers are especially judged kind of harshly because they're the first guys to kind of get blamed a little bit when things don't go right, because they're the their contributions to the buildup are very much judged on goals and assists and you know, passes into key areas. And when you maybe don't do that, it's a challenging kind of thing. But yeah, if Christian Ramirez scores a point blank header, and if Christian Ramirez at the very least gets that Yao Yeboah across on target, we're talking about an entirely different game.
Mm-hmm. And that's the difference in Christian Ramirez and Cucho Hernandez, yeah. Yeah. Most likely.
The second chance, especially, I think, is it where Cucho probably brings that down, cuts it back, and finishes with his left foot, and everyone goes, you know, holy mother of God, what skill. It's too bad. I think that in general in that game, it's not really one that I'm gonna you know, if we're keeping the overreaction bill bit going, this is one that I'm not overreacting to a little bit. I think they created enough chances for me to get a result out of the game. I don't know if Aiden Morris is onside, offside in the second half, but I do know that chance is A1.
That was a VAR offside if I've ever seen it.
And we can maybe get into in terms of some of the VAR protocol a little bit later, but when you put one on your number nine's forehead, when he's 6 yards from goal, you're probably thinking you're scoring.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you do one on his dominant foot with essentially no one to beat, all you have to do is probably put it on target and he almost score, you're probably thinking you're doing things right.
Well, I think, too, with the goal that Charlotte scored, I think if Darlington Nagbe is in there and they are playing the way that they want to in the midfield, that probably doesn't happen, or it becomes more difficult for Charlotte to score. Zawadzki was late getting back, which, you know, if he's playing that more roaming midfield role, he's further up the field because that's what you're asking him to do, and Aiden's not pulled over. So tough to say. It's just a, like Brett said, it's the way that Charlotte wants to play. You should be aware of these things coming your way, and they just seem to get caught off guard, like you were saying, Brian.
And credit to them. Yeah. After the goal, they were so laser-focused on how they wanted to play the rest of the game. They just clogged everything up, made Lucas almost a non-factor, and then those Hail Mary counterattacks, one after the other, where knowing that everybody was sold out to get a goal, and Milos was the only guy back there. Milos did a nice job recovering and staying with his man, but it made for the end of the game to be very much a high-wire act. They played that exactly the way they wanted to play it. Credit to them, because they have looked just god-awful up to this match.
I bet that was, in terms of output, that's probably the most Milos has ever run in his crew tenure.
Yeah.
And that's in the nature of the high line that they're playing. It was kind of interesting to hear the broadcast with Tony and Ross kind of flabbergasted at how high the line for the crew was. And they could not believe how high the line was when it's like, we've had 8 games of this, guys. Like, this is what they've been doing the whole season. But that's a different conversation for maybe a podcast in the future. But on some level, I kind of admire the Sisyphean kind of nature of, we are trying to do this.
That's a word that's never been uttered on this podcast.
Put that in the podcast description.
I feel so pretentious saying this. Do you know what Sisyphus is? Do you know who Sisyphus is?
It was a Greek god.
This
right?
is the rock rolling up the hill parable.
Oh,
okay.
Right.
Pushing the rock up the hill.
I've been doing that my whole life.
and that we are going to try this one thing. If it's successful and we score off of it, fantastic. If not, at the very least, it's going to make you really bleeping annoyed in trying to deal with it. And they tried it over and over and over and over and over and over. And that was the only buildup. That was the only layering that they had. And that was what they were going to do. And on some level, I kind of admire that. I'm going to make up a word a little bit like Shakespeare, but the stick with itness that kind of showcases, that was kind of interesting and cool. But then you saw what happened when Nagbe came on the field. And then all of a sudden it was like kind of back to typical Nancy crew buildup, where they were a little bit more dynamic. The line between that forward line with its fluidity and then the Aiden Morris and his kind of movement, that becomes a little bit more nebulous, and the barriers between those two dissolve a little bit, and that makes it really difficult for defenses. And for the most part, Charlotte dealt with that okay. But I do think, like, when you have to just essentially go and retrieve a punt every so often, and then restart it all over again.
It's exhausting.
I don't think it's not fair to say that Charlotte parked the bus, because I don't think that's exactly what happened.
No.
But
late in the game.
Late in the game, but everybody parks the bus late in the game. But like the way that they were essentially saying, this is what you got. If you can break us down, great job, great goal. We'll see you next time.
Schulte had another fine performance. Is Room fit? He wasn't on the team.
He was not there. He was listed as questionable. He was training last week. So it'll be interesting to see the starting goalkeeper for the open. You know,
be Eloy Room.
Yeah, do you ask Eloy, okay, get back out there, get some minutes in the Open Cup, and we'll just kind of see from there. I was a little surprised he wasn't on the bench, but I guess if things have been working well, you know, there's not a huge reason to, make adjustments unnecessarily.
I go back to what I said a couple weeks ago. I really think that Schulte plays the way with the ball that Nancy wants him to play. And I think he believes that Room doesn't offer that. Is there any sort of validity to that?
I don't know if I would go so far as to say it's kind of an either or, if that makes sense. But I think you can 100% say that Nancy absolutely rates Schulte and thinks that there's quote unquote something there.
Well, he's a kid, and so
yes,
Nancy likes to play kids.
Loves the kids.
Even though he tells us that he doesn't pay attention to how old anyone is.
But I still think Aloy is far and away the first choice. In my mind, and that's me using the phrase far and away purposely, I don't know if Wilfred Nancy feels the same. And so when they are essentially both 100%, that choice will be a fascinating one.
Yeah.
Because I've heard, how do I say this? I've heard kind of conflicting opinions as to the percentage in which Room is healthy. I'm kind of the opinion that I think he's probably pretty close to being fully fit and back. And so if he is, when he is quote unquote fully fit, who does Nancy go with? That'll be something kind of that's a choice that he hasn't really been forced to make just yet. Right. With the season opener against Philly, with Room's visa issues, it was a fairly easy decision to go with Schulte. And then, Aloy has the soft tissue injury, fairly easy choice to go with Schulte. But when they're both essentially fully ready to go, that's one that remains to be seen.
Well, Schulte has gotten a lot of great experience regardless, and that is only a positive. And I feel fine with him in there. I like his game. I got no problem. And as we've seen, the history of that position, sometimes guys come out of nowhere because it's one guy at a time. Wasn't Matt Turner a guy that kind of came out of nowhere with New England?
Yeah.
You know, that's something like that. And now he's in the Premier League.
And so Schulte's a guy, I mean, they drafted him in the first round. And right. I know the super draft isn't what it used to be, but this was a kid who played well for St. Louis University that they liked, you know. So it's not a surprise that he's done well. It's probably more of a surprise that he's, you know, been able, had this opportunity and run with it more so than anything. Because look, I mean, not that college or MLS Next Pro is the same as MLS in terms of the level, but he did really well in both those. He was a goalkeeper of the year last year in MLS Next Pro. So you saw something there clearly, and it's just about playing that way when you take the step up.
And to piggyback kind of off of what you're saying, and to their credit, Ross Smith, who was the analyst for the game on Saturday, Canadian goalkeeper, who is Portland's analyst for a number of years, talked about Schulte kind of being like, I hate the phrase sweeper keeper, but
yeah,
like
I
essentially
heard him say that.
That's
yeah.
like what they're like, what the phrase that he used. There is something to Schulte's ability with his feet that I think Nancy values in a very dynamic way, very big way. And we've seen it a couple of times, and we certainly saw it last year with Crew 2.
Yeah.
How much...
Well, you did it because you don't watch Crew 2.
I did not. But
and he had to come off way off the line at yeah. least once toward the end of that
game.
So
there's some skill. There's some talent there. And then because of that, there's trust in the moments when they arrive for him to be able to deal with them. And I think that's something that I'm not to say that room doesn't have in terms of ability. It's just something I think that they maybe don't ask him to do that they maybe would Schulte.
Mm-hmm.
So just a little bit of a different dynamic between the two guys.
To be determined.
Yeah. In a general sense, going off the goalkeeper thing, I just want both, and Sam, you too, I want your opinion on this. Is there any sort of concern creeping in from these last year? I know, Brett, you said you're not going to overreact to this, but when they were 11-11 against New England, I didn't think it was great. And there were portions of this match that I said it last week, there's going to be ups and downs with this team. We expected that. But, you know, there was clearly something that clicked for those few games where you're scoring 27 goals or whatever they had. And now, you know, you're not getting those finishes from guys up front like Ramirez. They've allowed a couple goals here that have been fairly costly. Just what's kind of your concern of these last two games? I'm curious.
So the Crew is ninth in expected goals for in Major League Soccer right now. Where do you think the Crew sits in expected goals against in Major League Soccer right now? Silence on the non-visual medium.
Not as good.
Top five.
What?
Top five.
They're ninth in expected goals against. So I think when those two numbers, those two scenarios are essentially lining up relatively equally, I think it can lend itself to the idea of like there being kind of margin for error in game to game performance to performance, and so the goal scoring like smorgasbord that the Crew had just a couple weeks ago is obviously padding that number in a fairly significant way. So the expected goals, for the Crew, probably a little bit more of a, what I would refer to as like a weighted kind of statistic, thumb on the scale, so to speak. The other one is a little bit, maybe not necessarily concerning for me, because ninth in terms of Major League Soccer is just fine. But the when you kind of take in mind the context of several multi goal performances that are kind of shifting the scale or shifting the spectrum one way.
It's almost like you have to break out certain games set them aside.
Yeah,
Real Salt Lake and
like Atlanta essentially having a negative goals for expected goals that influences the kind of the analytic a little bit. So the concern for me is the lack of finishing in front of goal, which I think is the second straight game where we've seen examples of that, fairly significant and obvious ones. And to borrow a phrase from Caleb Porter, goals change games, but especially the first one is so crucial. And how many times in the Caleb Porter era where they did not score first and it influenced the game more than any of the other goals that happened after it did. And so that to me is kind of the name of the game, where I think because it's a young team, because everything kind of feels a little bit dependent upon how those first five, that first 10, that first 15 goes, if you can get the first goal, I kind of feel like the floodgates open for this team because they're so young, because of the up and down nature of some of the performances that we've seen, yeah. that when it kind of maybe turns into a bit of a grind, that works against the Crew a little bit.
We have trouble breaking down teams that park the bus, and this was the same problem with Caleb Porter teams.
You got to get a hold of the game, if that makes sense.
Yeah, we had plenty of the ball, but just I think when there's space and when we can kind of let our hair down a little bit, then we're fine. But when everything is clogged up, and a lot of teams have this problem, it's not just us, but certainly it was really frustrating. A lot of block shots and so forth. We just don't play well in those tight areas in front of the goal. So
there is it'll be kind of interesting to see as the season goes along, how opponents, when they watch this game, what they take from it in terms of what I would call kind of like the unwillingness to react to the Crew's kind of slow buildup and trying to invite teams forward to create almost like a faux transition opportunity. The Charlotte essentially was like, we're more than cool with you messing around with your three center backs. We're not going to bring a third guy into that equation. We're not going to let you break a line and then find one of the wing backs on a switch. We're just not going to let you do that. Be kind of interesting is that in the next few weeks to see how many teams see that and almost look at it as like an opportunity or a blueprint to have maybe a little bit of success, especially the teams that don't want the ball, as a blueprint to maybe have a little bit of success against this team. That'll be kind of interesting and something to keep an eye on in the next few weeks.
Absolutely.
It feels like that once they got some success that was unexpected with a plethora of goals, whether as fans, analysts, or players, you almost get that, I don't want to say false sense of security, but a little bit of false sense of security, and that changes our perspective. That changes the bar that we have set for this team. And the bar that we have set for this team in the beginning of the year was, yeah, we're not really expecting much with a new coach and a new formation. And so we kind of have to kind of, like you said, Brett, we kind of have to weigh that into the equation. But I also feel like sometimes when you get in a situation like that, your players, depending on how much Nancy is giving them freedom to do, your players are almost thinking, well, I want to try to do this, and let's see if this works, and let's see if this works as a player, not even necessarily as a coach instruction.
Right.
And so I don't know how much that plays within that, but like, I honestly expected for the entire first half of the season is to just see random experimentation happening, whether it's by necessity because of injury or not.
And maybe that's a good example of what we saw with Zawadzki and Aiden. It was like, well, let's see what happens when we flip those. Where, you know what I mean? Like, it was like, well, everyone's going to expect Zawadzki to hold and Aiden to roam. Let's flip that and see what happens. Yeah. Maybe that's an example. Excuse me, an example of that. I think Yao's... Yeah, I can maybe make the argument that Yao's substitution is an example of that. So everyone expects us to bring on Jimmy.
That's exactly where my brain went when I saw that Yao substitution.
Let's bring on Yao and see what happens.
Yes.
I want to correct something I said earlier, but real quick, by the way. Ross Smith, Portland Timbers color guy who did the analysis for the game. Not a goalkeeper, a defender in Canada. Just look that up. Defender, not a goalkeeper. There's a big difference between those two positions. So I've heard it.
One can use hands and the other one can't.
Allegedly.
All right, we should.
That was a high five.
We should probably move this along because we have two games to preview.
Absolutely not.
The U.S. Open Cup. Might we remember the nightmare that was the trip to Detroit where we played in a high school stadium in how do you pronounce that part of Detroit?
It's Detroit. I don't know.
Amsterdam.
That was an absolute nightmare.
That joke deserved better.
And we were very quickly dispatched from the U.S. Open Cup by a USL side. And now we get one at home. The Indy 11, the much-venerated Indy 11, near the bottom of the table in the Eastern Conference in the USL. And you watch, it's easier for people to watch USL matches than it is to watch MLS matches because of the Apple TV thing. They're on there every weekend. Every once in a while, I'll just tune in and see just what it looks like. It's, you know, it's all right. We're going to bring up kids from Crew 2. We're going to play a lot of guys that we haven't seen at all this season, or at least very little. What sort of starting 11 do we expect?
It'll be interesting because, like, I think you'll get a sense of what Wilfred Nancy thinks of the Open Cup, and we'll get a chance to talk to him on Tuesday, but I don't think he cared too much about the Canadian Championship during his time in Montreal. Now, a little bit different tournament. You know, he's obviously still experimenting, as we were just talking about here a little bit, so maybe you do some of that in this, but I imagine it's going to be a fairly reserved side. I mean, I would guess, I don't know what they'll do in goal, but I imagine you see Philip Quinton, the center of the center backs. Jake Morris has played that position for Crew 2. I don't know who you do as your third center back. You've got your wing backs now become less obvious, because I think before there were, you know, you could play some of those wingers there, and Luis Diaz isn't back. But the midfield, I think you see Parente and Zawadzki, unless they want to run Darlington Nagbe out there. Jason Russell Rowe up top. I do think you need somebody who's a first team guy. You know, maybe a Matan in there, just to, or maybe you play two forwards with Ramirez up, just somebody to, you know, be the captain, be the leader of this team.
You're probably going to see Yao. You're probably going to see Medaranda, since he played for Crew 2 the other week. Medaranda, yeah. So you might very likely see those guys because they're not getting a ton of playing time, and I don't know how much they played for Crew 2 on Saturday.
I think it's going to be an entirely Crew. I think you're going to see basically a Crew 2 roster. I don't think there will be the most veteran guy out there is going to be Zawadzki. I would be really surprised to see anybody like a Matan, even so far as Yao. I would be a little bit surprised to see Yao, and that's not necessarily because I don't think they're not valuing the competition. I think that's actually an indication of how much they trust just those guys. I will admit, like, I think this is way more interesting of an Open Cup game than the Detroit game was last year, in terms of what the starting 11 is going to be. Like, who's going to be the captain? Like, how well are they going to play? Like, Indy 11 has not been particularly good. If you go through their one of the great things about the USL is, like, if you and even the NASL's some. A bit of this as well. Like, you can hop on a roster and you're just like, oh, let's see if I recognize anybody from this team.
Guy.
It's like the old Ringer podcast. Like, let's remember some guys. There's not really anybody that, like, jumps out at me on that Indy 11 roster. But that's not to say that, like, there aren't talented guys. I think this team underestimated Detroit last year and got punished for it. In a pretty big way, after going up a goal, leading the game, and still couldn't see it out. It's the most excited I've been for like a side competition game since probably, I would say, even more than the CONCACAF Champions League games at the start of the 2021 season. Like, I'm fascinated. I can't wait to see who they
You know,
run
they're
going to
bring a few busloads of supporters down I-70.
They should. Awesome. If you have an opportunity, by the way, if you're someone who just loves soccer, go to an Indy 11 game. Indianapolis is way closer than I think people realize.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's I-70 the whole way. Go check out
Three
a game. It's a great atmosphere. I think I went. We went once in, 2014, somewhere in there. And it was so much fun. It was really, really cool. So
they're about to get a really nice new stadium.
The commitment from Indianapolis to them has been really impressive. So they're not to be taken lightly. They're going to throw. everything and the ham sandwich at you. It's the at this team, they're going to absolutely go for it, and why wouldn't you? It's going to be a fantastic game.
And impossible to really pick because, I don't know, we don't know anything about them. We don't know who's going to play for us. We have our guesses. So we'll just say that...
Jason Russell Roe going to score. That's going to be my only prediction.
Honestly, my guess is going to be very close to the roster that started the game against New England 2 last week.
Okay.
That's my feeling, yeah. Is that that's going to be pretty close.
All right. Well, it's a great experience for these kids, and that's Wednesday night. Kick at 7:30 then against Indy 11 at lower.com. We have Miami coming in here on Saturday, a club that showed some growth last year and is now at the bottom of the table again. I would say that they've been fairly unlucky if you look at the expected goal stats. They only have 6 goals on the season, and Joseph Martinez has none of them, which is telling as to their struggles.
Didn't they also lose their DP? Their DP got hurt, like, right at the beginning of the season.
Well, they have some talent on the team. They have DeAndre Yedlin. I watched the highlights of the Houston game. They had their chances. They popped one off a bar once. Steve Clark looked good.
Yeah.
37-year-old Steve Clark in the goal for Houston.
Yeah.
So it's good that he's still out there. But, yeah, I mean, Joseph Martinez has to, I know he had that catastrophic injury, but he has to produce for them. 6 goals in 8 games is just kind of sad.
They I think it's Phil Neville's comments after their most recent game were really interesting, and because he was asked flat out if he felt like he was on the hot seat, and he was like, "Yeah, man, of course. Like we stink right now. Why wouldn't I be?"
His accent was probably better.
It was better than that. And God, man, from the rain delay last year down in Miami. I have like 15 stories we could tell from that night. They're such an interesting team. The club, Inter Miami is fascinating to me in the same way that like a bit of a dumpster fire is, but also like one that I kind of respect. I think it's a game that like if they don't get a result, Phil Neville's probably fired the following day. And then who even knows what happens? They're trying to leverage all their reserve cash to get Messi. It feels a little bit like no one's paying attention to anything that's going on right now because they're going all in for the 2024 season.
I heard he was going to Saudi Arabia.
Well, I mean, he could probably make like 5x what he would be making. Not to turn this into a Messi podcast, but he could probably make 5x what he would be making in Miami. But there's some equity involved with the... Oh God, we're really in the weeds. But there's some equity involved in terms of a percentage of the franchise that he might be able to get that might offset some of that. But anyway, they're just an interesting team. I think they miss Gonzalo way more than they ever imagined. I don't know if I've said this on the podcast, but I've said this kind of publicly previously. There's something about the sound the ball made when that dude hit a shot or hit a pass that was just different than like literally anybody in MLS. It had like a fundamental quality that you just knew it was excellent, right? And I think they thought maybe they would get him for another year. And then he kind of walked away before maybe they were totally prepared. And so then they go all out for Yosef, and then they don't necessarily have a ton to provide the service to him. They punt Bryce Duke into the Great White North, who was maybe their best playmaker last year. But they got an absurd amount back for him. And a player. They're just such an awkward, kind of cumbersome team. And yet on top of that, like if you looked at the season previews from kind of the MLS like media, people had them finishing anywhere from like third to last in the Eastern Conference. It's a game where you have to go out. You absolutely have to win. You've got to get a result. They haven't been playing well. It doesn't seem like there's a ton of fun to play for that team right now. If you go out and you score two or three goals, job done. If it struggles a little bit, then you start to wonder. So it's a game where I think it's fairly obvious who the superior team is. And so for the Crew, I think it's a game where they have to dictate it from the first whistle, from the when the ball kicks off. And anything less than that would be a little bit of a disappointment, I think, for me.
Well, they're due for some positive regression if you look at expected goals. It's not as dire as the actual goal results that they're getting. So that scares me a little bit. At some point, their luck is going to flip, and you don't want it to do that to happen when you get them on Saturday night at Lower.com. Fortunately, the weather is going to be kind of... So that certainly helps us. It's going to
damn
be wet.
Spring in Columbus.
Yeah, it's going to be wet, and it's going to be a little chilly, so they're not going to be happy with that. They're on the road for the second straight week. Last week, judging from the highlights, they had to walk off that pitch in Houston just salty.
Yeah.
Because that was a game they really should have won, and they let it go begging. So they're going to be desperate if there's any heart at all, or... Yeah, maybe they just would soon have a change in management.
Yeah, so. And no Gregory helps. Got hurt back in March. And he was, I always felt like whenever the Crew played Miami, if he played well, Miami usually won. If he didn't play well, the Crew pounded them. He was very much kind of the spine and the heartbeat. And so they're definitely missing him as well. But like it's, to me, it's in some ways, I think, is less about the opponent and more about, we've seen two games now where the performance over the entirety of 90 minutes has been somewhat underwhelming, if not altogether underwhelming. It's time to do a little bit of a 180. Let's reestablish footing. Let's get back to creating a lot of chances. Get back to being extremely dynamic and free-flowing in that attacking third. And it's an opportunity to do that against a team that has, at times, looked vulnerable. Not all the time. I think they have looked relatively okay in their defending half.
They've only given up
parts.
Nine goals,
right?
So that's not bad.
So it's not to say that, like, I would have said that, like, Charlotte was much more of an example of an opponent that where you could just go out and get it from what we had seen prior to that game. A little bit surprised for them not to be able to do that. This is not maybe that same situation or scenario, but it is an opportunity to maybe reestablish some positive momentum and some confidence.
Well, and I think this week in general, you know, whatever the lineup is for the Open Cup game, okay, you come back home, you hopefully get a win in that game. Guys are feeling better about things after coming off a loss. Then you have a game Saturday also at home. Yeah. So there's a chance to build back some of that momentum this week, which will be important, I think. Because
any chance we see Cucho on Saturday?
Yeah, I think there's a chance.
I'm sorry to interrupt. I've heard he's close.
Yeah, I mean, what Wilfred Nancy said last week was that he'd done a full training and they were just going to kind of limit his minutes in training and how they handled each day. I think the turf there, and looking back on how things went for Will Sands, rightfully so.
Yeah.
A guy coming off a knee injury.
Want to see him on that crap.
Right. So, yeah, I certainly don't think you see him in the Open Cup game, but I could see, you know, maybe off the bench against Miami on Saturday.
Fair enough. I think that would make all the difference in the world.
Yeah,
you know?
Certainly.
We need him. We need him. You're trying to catch a fly.
There's a bug flying around, which is not, you know, not a knock on Saucy Brewer. Insects are everywhere, but that we just tried to catch, and all of us were incredibly unsuccessful at it.
And misses.
Which is just disappointing. We should be better at this. You know,
that
our
fly actually in its scientific name is Insectus rapidupus. So
it's telling us to go.
We are.
That's enough.
We're going to wind this up here. Another Mass Report podcast, but not before we make our picks. I know Bart couldn't be here tonight, but he has sent us a pick. We'll get to that here in a moment. We'll skip U.S. Open Cup because God knows what's going to happen there. We'll go to the Miami game. Sam, you got a pick for Miami?
I'm going to go 2-0 Crew.
2-0 Crew, all right. Miami will continue to struggle on the offensive end. Murph?
I'll say 2-1 Crew. I think like we were just saying, they've got to get some of that good juju going back again. I think at home, they've done well to take advantage, especially teams that have struggled. They've done well to take advantage of that at home. So I don't see any reason why you shouldn't continue that form. So I'll say 2-1.
Yeah, I really like the 2-1 scoreline. Feels right to me. I'm still not placing a ton of stock or emphasis on the Charlotte game. I think in my mind that's a good example of just some of the crap that you have to wade through at times in Major League Soccer. The parity that we love so much in this league, that is a hallmark, that is a pillar of why this league is so much fun, that right there is the personification of it. Where you feel like you should just go out there and crush them 4-0 and you walk away with your tail between your legs. I still like where this team is at. I think the Will Sands loss to injury is very much a big deal. That being said, I still think when it comes time to depend on the superstars, this Columbus Crew team has guys that have answered that call more often than they haven't. So it's Lucas Zelarayán. I think Darlington Nagbe's back in the starting lineup, and I would expect a fairly dynamic performance from the two of them. So give me a Lucas goal. I think it's a 2-0, thoroughly professional performance, a goal in each half.
Okay.
For the black and gold. I would love a soft penalty. Give me a soft penalty in the first like 25 minutes that Lucas just buries.
Yeah.
That gets like MLS Twitter all PO'd.
Yeah.
Let's do that. 2-0 Crew. And I do think, by the way, they win the Open Cup game. Give me 2-0 in that one as well.
All right. Fair enough.
Jason Russell Rowe and Isaiah Parente, the two goals in that one.
Picks on the U.S. Open Cup as well. What did Bart say?
Bart said, because I asked him for both.
We can pick the other game if you want.
No, it's fine. I'm fine not picking the... I have no idea what to expect from the Open Cup game.
I don't either. I'm just throwing it out there.
Bart said 2-1 against Indy and 3-1... He said for Miami. I assume he means for the Miami game. I can't imagine Bart is picking against the Crew.
No, he's not picking
Crew. So 3-1. He didn't give any details.
Okay.
Should we just like create what Bart would predict?
Josh Williams comes back from injury and scores on a bicycle kick.
We had
that's something he would say.
In overreactionville, Bart has missed the last couple HOA meetings because he's had prior engagements. But that doesn't mean he's not fully committed to the absurd regulations that we, are very, very much emphatically constituting to, establish longtime residents in Overreactionville. That being said, there's plenty of room on the bandwagon. We're still extremely positive, and we're really happy where this team is at, despite the last two games.
Well, I'm going to be boring, and I'm just going to copy Murph's pick. 2-1 just is ringing in my head. I think, as I mentioned, I think Miami is just quote-unquote due. They've had some bad luck, and I think you can see Martinez scoring. Why not? We've seen it before.
He's still one of the greatest MLS players of all time.
Why can't he score? So I could see that happening, but a 2-1 Crew win. All right, and with that, we are done. Again, that's Indy11 at lower.com on Wednesday. It's been a while since we've had a Wednesday tilt. So show up for that. Support your Crew. Indianapolis supporters are going to be there. I guarantee you that. And we don't want them being louder than we are at 7:30 on Wednesday and then Saturday against Miami as we return to league play. Like and subscribe to the Mass Support Podcast. We do appreciate it. Sam, thank you so much for setting everything up and making us sound good. For Murph, for Brett, for Bart, who couldn't be here, I'm Brian. Thanks for listening to the Mass Support Podcast here at Saucy Brew Works. We'll see you next week.